from the testimony of Jessica, there are so many things that we can learn about God, about the Christian life. And it is indeed an amazing, a miracle for what God has done in Jessica's life and in our lives too. Can I have... Okay. Sometime last year, I heard a brother of mine by the name of Pastor Ben Yeo from my former church in Singapore share about friendship with God from the book of James. And as I was preparing to preach today, again and again, I was directed to the book of James. And I have entitled the message today, "Is Jesus Truly My Lord?" Is Jesus truly my Lord? And we'll be looking into the book of James, but I will start with this verse from James chapter 4, verse 4. And I will relate this also to our vision and our mission. And we may say that, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. But for even the most spiritual Christian in the Bible, there are times in which they will need to check again their heart and redirect and recommit and rededicate their life to God, because Jesus, God, is not really truly Lord of our lives at certain times in our life. And today, there are amazing brothers and sisters in our midst who really love God, who have experienced God. But yet, are we really what we should be at this point in time? And this is a question that we must ask ourselves today, including me. Father, we thank you for loving us and for reaching out to us. We thank you for the story of Jessica, how you have worked in her life. We thank you for how you have worked in each one of our lives, causing us to come out of darkness into light. And today, as we look into your word, Lord, we truly want to open our hearts and our minds to you yet again and ask that you help us to redirect our lives back to you, and that you truly be Lord of our lives. For this is indeed the best thing that can happen to us, just as Jessica has discovered. Oh Lord, may we all again rediscover how important it is to let Jesus be Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick reminder, the vision for our church is that we'll be a disciple-making church, and that by 2030, we will have a new generation of leaders, new generations of disciples. And our mission is that we be a rooted, a resilient, a radiant, and a reproducing disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay? You can find the three bubbles and the four R's in here, which is now very much seen here. Okay, this is a picture that we may elaborate more in the days to come. For today, I'll just very quickly say that discipleship is very, very important, and we really feel that God wants us to be a disciple-making church. And we have discovered that there will be three platforms for us in our discipleship making, and that is our Sunday service, our small groups, care groups, and our journeying, personal journeying. Okay, we will probably talk more about this in days to come. But what I would like to help us to focus a little bit at this point is the right side of this diagram, which I enlarge over here. Our programs for discipleship is already launched because we are now 2025. We started this in 2020. And it actually involves, our program involves our head, our heart, and our hands. But at the very heart is this words here that I have put in bold in red, is that Jesus is Lord, that we love God, and we love others. This is the very heart of our mission, and that this is the three bubbles, that Jesus be Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, and if Jesus is Lord, we will love God, and we will love others. And that in these programs that we want to be involved in, that involves our heart, our head, and our hands, is rooted in the Word of God. You see the word rooted there, right? Resilient and radiant in Jesus, and that we be reproducing, that we be fruitful. Now, this is something that we have heard before, but we need to remind ourselves again and again, because this is what we are going. This is where we are heading. And by 2030, we'll be flying in the sky, all right, in regards to our vision and our mission. Amen? Okay, let's come to the book of James and start with this verse from chapter 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, we may be a bit surprised with this verse. And we find these words here, adulterers and adulteresses. Now, in the Greek New Testament, actually, it is only one word. And actually, it can be translated many times in other versions as, you adulterous people. James was writing to the readers, and he said, you adulterous people. Now, when we talk about adulterous, we are talking about unfaithfulness, right? Unfaithful. So, you unfaithful people. And he say, if you are the friend with the world, you are not a friend of God. You are actually an enemy of God. So, if you are unfaithful, you do not have Jesus as Lord. And you are most likely a friend of the world. Now today, are we sure that we are not a friend of the world? Are we sure that we are really that faithful to God? How committed are we to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life? Now, in chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, we know that James was actually writing to Christians. He was writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And these are the Jews who were all over the known world at the time. So James was writing to Jewish Christians. And verse 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We see from here that James was writing to his brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who have faith in Jesus Christ. He was writing to Christians. And how is it that writing to Christians, we find him saying in chapter 4, verse 4, you adulterous people. We are Christians, right? Most of you here, perhaps all of you here are Christians. Is it possible that James is also speaking to us, you adulterous people? Could it be possible that we are adulterous and unfaithful? We are a friend of the world and not a friend of God? And becoming adulterous means that Jesus is not truly Lord. Now, how is it possible that we call ourselves a Christian and Jesus is not Lord? So, in the book of James, we see at least five ways in which Jesus may not be Lord in all of our life. And all of them start with the word D. I was very amazed that some time ago, Pastor Alvin preached a sermon and he got seven E's. You know? I said, well, how come you got seven E's? Where do you get it from? He said he got it from himself, you know. The Lord led him to have the E's. So as I was preaching today, I said, Lord, is it possible that I have something like that? And as I look into these verses, I discovered that there are actually five D's, all right? First is deceive, then double-minded, then dead faith, and then defective love, and then desiring the world. They are actually all connected to one another. And we find this in the book of James. So it is good for us today to see whether we are of these five D's. Because if we are having these five D's, then Jesus may not really be Lord. Let us look at the first one, deceiving ourselves. You find in chapter 1, there are at least three verses that James talk about deceiving. In verse 16, he said, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. My dear brothers and sisters, please don't be deceived. And in verse 22, he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If we don't do the word of God and we just hear, we don't have fruits, we don't have works, we are deceiving ourselves. In verse 26, if anyone among you think he is religious, you think you are good Christians, and you does not bridle your tongue, you deceive your own heart and your religion is useless. How we talk also show us whether Jesus is really Lord. And so we have to check ourselves to see in our behavior whether we are just simply being religious and we are deceiving ourselves. Now, to deceive ourselves means that we are hypocrites. And we know that in the Bible, Jesus again and again and again called the Pharisees hypocrites. He said to their face, you hypocrites. The hypocrites are very religious people. They know the Bible. They actually practice fasting and prayer and giving. They are doing the right things, actually. But yet they are deceiving themselves. And when you deceive yourself, you become a stumbling block to others. I have heard so many people saying that I don't want to be a Christian because I have this colleague, I have this person in my family who say he is a Christian. I don't want to be Christian. So hypocrites are very dangerous. Hypocrites are people who deceive themselves. They are not real. So we may think that we are Christian. We may even think we are good Christians. Why do you think you are a good Christian? Because you come to church every Sunday, or maybe most of a Sunday. You give your tithes and offering. And you really look like a Christian. But is it possible that you are deceiving yourself? And we are not really friends with God, but in fact, we are friends with the world. We are hypocrites then. We are adulterers and we are unfaithful. We are not real. So God looks into our hearts and he wants to see that we be real, genuine, and true disciples. This is going to be a disciple-making church, not just simply any church, but a church that make real disciples, that have Jesus as Lord, that love God, that love people, that are rooted, resilient, radiant, and reproducing. Secondly, double-minded. There is this verse that in James that says, but let him ask in faith and no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded means that you want the best of both worlds. You want this, but you also want that. You want to hold on to two worlds. And Jesus said, you cannot have God as your master and mammon as your master. Mammon is money. Mammon means the world, the worldly things. You cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world. Suppose a man come to our church today and talk to you, and you know this man is actually the boss of a gambling and prostitution ring. He comes to you and say, I want to become a Christian. And then you say, wow, that is fantastic, right? You want to become a Christian? Why? Why do you want to become a Christian? And he say, because I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I say, that's great. So you want to become a Christian, that Jesus be your Lord, and you no longer be involved in gambling and prostitution. And he say, oh no, I still want to have my gambling and prostitution, but I also want Jesus. That doesn't make sense, isn't it? Now, Jessica today gave a powerful testimony, and we know that she really wants Jesus to be her Lord, and she wants to serve Jesus now. And you will surely believe that Jessica is no longer going to go after all the worldly things, the drugs, the alcohol, and the boyfriends, right? You cannot be double-minded. You cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We cannot say, I love God, I'm serving God, but you love the world. Instead of holding to Jesus as Lord, we can hold many other things as Lord. Of course, money can be your Lord. Your career can be your Lord, mastering over you. You give all your time to your work. Even your wife can be your Lord. Your husband can be your Lord. Your children can be your Lord. Your car can be your Lord. You give all of your heart to your car. You clean it every day. You kiss your car every morning. Anything also can be our Lord when it becomes our master, it controls us. So, we are to be single-minded, fully trusting God, fully committed to Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, and we are firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. Single-minded, rooted in His Word, rooted in Christ, no double-minded. Brothers and sisters, are you double-minded today? Is it possible that you are double-minded today? The third D is dead faith. James says in chapter 2, verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We may say we have faith in God, we have faith in Christ, but our faith could be dead when it is just faith, but no manifestation, no fruits, no works. Now, what is this? This is a car, isn't it? It looks like a car. You go and touch it, yeah, it touched like a car. Yeah, it must be a car. But this car has no engine. It cannot move. It cannot run. You try to drive it, it's not going to be going anywhere. It's a useless car. It's a dead car. A car that does not have an engine is useless. Faith that have no works is useless. James again say in verse 26 of chapter 2, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead. Car without engine is dead. So if we say we are a Christian, we have faith in God, but there is no works. We don't see any works. Now, what kind of works are you talking about? Maybe some of you may say, oh, if you are Christian, you need to have works of power and works of miracles. Yeah, thank God for the miracles and the power that he grants to us. But do bear in mind that Jesus did say, in the last days, there will be people who say, Lord, Lord, we work miracles in your name. And Jesus said, I do not know you, you lawless people. And in this passage, it is connected to what Jesus talked about. A tree is known by its fruits. And so what kind of fruits and works is Jesus looking for in our life? As we are going to see in the next day, it is related to love. God is actually looking for fruits of love. Yeah, we can have miracles, we have power, but it must be connected to love. Don't simply do all kind of power and giving your body to be burned, but there is no love. Love for God, and if we say we love God, we love others. Jesus is Lord, loving God, loving others. It's all connected. If Jesus is Lord, we will love God. And if we love God, we love others. If we truly have faith in Jesus, fruits of our work of love and service will come forth from us. And there will be acts of love and acts of service manifested from us. And we will therefore be fruitful and we'll be pre-producing Christians. And that's what we are looking for. Christians who have faith in Jesus, where Jesus is Lord in our lives, and we are having fruitfulness, and we are reproducing. My friend, are you reproducing? Do you have fruits, fruits of love? The fourth D is defective love, okay? Related to what we say just now about dead works that have no works, no love. In verse 8 of chapter 2, James says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, what is the royal law? The royal law is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And all the prophets and all the law are summarized in this royal law. So if you really fulfill the royal law according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Love is central and fundamental for us who have Jesus as Lord. And this is the hallmark, the key of a true disciple. We say we want to have disciples. What kind of disciples? Disciples that have love. People that have Jesus as Lord, people that love God, and people that have loved others. And this is the greatest of all virtues. You can have everything, you can be doing everything, and you have no love, you become a zero. Love. Love. Real love. Genuine love. And James now talk about something. He said, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit there in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Now, if we say we truly love God and love others, our love will be real, will be genuine. We won't be just loving the rich people, but we will be loving those who are deprived, those who are prisoners, those who are widows, and those who are rejected. We will find that somehow we do have a love that causes us to reach out to such people. And that is genuine love. Suppose you say you have been a Christian all this while and you just don't care for people. But if it is the rich people, you go and show care. That is something wrong already, not right. There is much... excuse me. There is much wickedness and evil in the world today. Love is really, really lacking in the world. Very lacking. But pure love can be found in the church. And this is actually that attracted me to Christianity at the very beginning. When I first came to church, I realized that there is something in the church, and there is love. Where we find people truly loving God, and then also loving others. And this love is so powerful that we can even love our enemies. Now, Jessica just now shared that somebody who had done such a terrible thing to her when she was 4 years old, how is it possible that she can say to him, I forgive you? It is because of the love of Christ that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And this is real love, genuine love. And we have such an amazing love that we find ourselves reaching to every kind of people. We love even our enemies. Now, suppose if you come to church today and you see a brother or sister coming towards you, and immediately you turn and you walk another way, something is not very right with you. Because if you really have the love of Jesus Christ, you love God and you love others, you will find that you can even love your enemies and you can reach out to them. And if they have done wrong to you, you are able to forgive them. This is powerful. And this is what God is looking for. And we'll be radiant. We are shining with love. Our church is supposed to be called a city on a hill. A city on a hill that is shining. Shining what? Shining with love. May we be truly a city on a hill that is radiant with love. So, brother and sister, do you have this pure and radiating love? The fifth D, the final D, is desiring the world. Chapter 5, verse 2, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a weakness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Loving the world, lusting after the world means to have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust the lust of the flesh, the lust of the lies, and the pride of life. Yeah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. This is something very, very important and something that is very, very dangerous to lust after the world, to desire the world. There are so many people who spend so much energy accumulating worldly things. Now, we have been studying very hard from the age of maybe even 4 until we become late teenagers or even in the early 20s, maybe in the early 20s when we go to university. We study so hard. And when you were a student, you have no time for anything. You just study. Why are you studying so hard? So that you have a good degree and you find a good job. And when you find a good job, you work so hard day and night, giving all your energy to your work. Are some of you like that? You work so hard. Why? So that you can accumulate more and more. More and more. So, when you're in the mid-20s, you graduate already, so you start working in your late 20s. In your 30s, you work. In your 40s, you work. In your 50s, you work. In your 60s, you still work. 60 is supposed to be retirement age, right? Yeah, many of our 60s are working very hard. Yeah, I actually also work very hard when I was 60s. In the 70s, you're still working very hard. Actually, you have enough already, but why you still want to work so hard? Do you know that the lifespan of Malaysian is 76 years old? I'm now 70 this year. On the average, right? Some less, some more. I may have 6 more years, maybe less, maybe more. So in my 6 years, do I still want to work so hard? Should I relax a little bit? Well, anyway, my working is different. My working is for the Lord. But some of you, maybe 70s, you are still working so hard to get more and more money. Think again, all right? Now, in this picture is this child. He started in the morning building a sandcastle in the beach. He knows that in the afternoon, by noon, 12 o'clock, the tide will be coming in, all right? But he knows that, yeah, it's in 12 o'clock now, it's an early morning. So he built. Wow, so delicate, so big, so beautiful. But suddenly 12 o'clock comes, and what happened? Pew, all gone. Let us really have this clarity of mind, right? That going after the world, accumulating the world, is not the right thing to do in life. James said, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. The most important thing in life is actually to be found in God's will and be doing His will. This is the most important thing. This is what the book of Ecclesiastes also says at the very end. What is the meaning of life? It is found in doing God's will and be found in His will, meaning that He is Lord. Now, Jessica had tried all kinds of things, right? Yeah. She is really scary, right? She tried so many things. But can she find the answer? So eventually, she comes to this realization that meaning that life is found in having Jesus as Lord and be doing His will. And so when we are doing the Lord's will, we find purpose and we become rooted in Him and we are resilient in Him. Now, many of us know this song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. If you just look into this, you will find that it is believed that this song is related to a person called Nok Sing. Now, in the early 18th century, there was a very famous Wells revival. And because of that, missionaries came to North India to a place called Assam. And as they shared the gospel in this place, a man called Nok Sing believed in Jesus together with his family. And Nok Sing also shared the gospel with other villagers and people come to know Christ. But the village chief was very angry with Nok Sing. And so he took hold of Nok Sing, his wife, and two children, and said, "You must renounce this Jesus Christ. Or if you don't, I'm going to kill your two children." And Nok Sing said, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." So the archers shot the arrows and killed the two sons, I believe. And then the village chief said to Nok Sing again, "Okay, now you renounce. If you don't, I'll kill your wife." And Nok Sing said, "Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back." Pew! The wife died. And then the village chief was very angry. "You still don't want to give up your Jesus? Last chance, you give up your Jesus or you die." And Nok Sing said, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back." He died. And the village chief was very, very impressed with this. And eventually he turned to Jesus also, together with many other villagers. Now today we may not need to be like Nok Sing, all right? But still, God requires of us to follow Him. No turning back. The cross before me and the world behind me. Worldly things are not important anymore. Worldly things can be so attractive, and it catch hold of us, it imprison us, and Jesus is no longer Lord of our life. If Jesus is going to be truly my Lord, Jesus is Lord, then make sure that we are not deceived, but that we be true and genuine. Make sure that we are not double-minded, but that we are single-minded. Make sure that we are not having dead faith, but that our faith is real with works. And make sure that we are not having defective love, but that our love is genuine. And make sure that we are not desiring the world, but we are truly desiring God. Isn't this a very good checklist from the book of James? James found it necessary to warn the brothers and sisters, the Jewish Christians scattered in the known world at that time, to be very careful about these things. And we need to have a check in our lives today, including me, to make sure that we are in the right path and that Jesus is truly Lord, and that we continue to grow in our rootedness, in our resilience, in our radiance, and in our reproducing, and that we be true disciples of Jesus Christ. I would like Raymond to lead us now to sing this song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, No Turning Back." And after that, he can give a closing prayer and a benediction.